All right, well, welcome, and once again, back podcasting. Sorry, I had to take a little bit of a break there. Well, I wasn't really taking a break. I was actually quite busy with Canadian Music Week and a few other things that I've been hosting and doing, so I have not been able to get to many interviews and podcasts, but back today, happy to be doing it. And I think today is, it's kind of a special one because it's something I've wanted to do for a little while now, and that was to speak to the guys in Crutch, and I guess more specifically to Lee Marshall, who, if you go onto Facebook, his name is actually Marshall Crutch. But Lee's been there from the beginning with this band, and as you know, some bands have to go through changes, or all bands go through changes, and some changes they have to make, and some they're forced to make. And in this particular instance, it was a little bit of both. Aaron Hawkins is now the drummer of Crutch, and he replaces Peege on the drums. And the other choice was not theirs with the passing of Jason Blaze as a guitar player. So the band had a bit of a hiatus, but they have found a very electrifying and dynamic gentleman in Sean Spenceley. And I will tell you, I've had the privilege of playing with Sean for almost a decade now. He's the guitar player in Sunset Strip. He's been the guitar player in Your Girlfriend. And he's been the guitar player in a few other bands that I've done, including a number of open mics. But he fits perfect into Crutch because it's really his wheelhouse of how he plays, what he likes, and what he wants to play. And I could tell by the camaraderie on stage on the few times that I've seen them between him and the rest of the band, especially him and Lee Marshall. It's just been awesome. So it's really exciting to do this podcast. And the reason I wanted to do it was to maybe take you back on what's been going on the last few years in their minds through all of these changes. And now with Sean on board, this band is ready to kick some serious ass. They've been playing out in Toronto. They played the Jim Beam CMW event, which I think was up in Hamilton. They've been rocking in Niagara here. So they're back at it. And I'm going to read you their bio real quick just so you understand a little bit about how badass they are. They're from St. Catharines, and they bring a new edge and sound that is ever-changing the face of rock and roll, especially here in Niagara. They are armed with an arsenal of influence, catchy riffs, clever lyrics, and attitude, and they are definitely taking Southern Ontario by storm. They had many years ago, and they're back doing it again. They have solidified their own unique sound in the presence of the indie music scene here, and they basically are a major kick-ass heavy metal rock and roll band. It's Crutch. It's Lee Marshall. I'm real excited to do this. I hope you'll stick around, and we will talk to you right after this.
Welcome to the Shane Christopher Neal Podcast. Shane's a TV and radio personality, international event host, A&R label rep, co-founder of BS Live Rocks Entertainment Group, an all-around epic guy. This podcast is sponsored by Music Life Magazine. Check out all Shane's podcasts at musiclifemagazine.net. So much to talk about with so little time. Here's your host, Shane Christopher Neal.
And I'm welcoming Lee and Marty right now to the show. How you guys doing?
Good. How are you doing? How are you doing, man?
I'm doing awesome. And it's good to talk to you guys. I know we did a chat on television a little bit ago, but I wanted to get a little bit deeper into some subjects. And maybe for people who don't know a lot about your band, take us back to the beginning, just very briefly. I take it that you both started this band, right? And kind of how that all got underway.
Well, no, well, so much originally, yes, that way. But cover-wise, Crutch was a cover band at first and started off that way. And then an ad was put out. I was looking for a band to jump into or start. It didn't matter. It would be cover or original, but at the time, I was just a cover guy, and then Marshall found my ad and asked me to send a demo, and I sent a demo of some covers I did to, you know, with another band, and he's like, you want to come out and jam? And I came out and met the guys, and we jammed for about 45 minutes to an hour, and then I had to leave, and I was gone for like maybe an hour. I had to come back. I was like, screw it, I got to go back, because I had such a good time. And he said, you want to write some originals? And I read some lyrics off a piece of paper that they had for some songs that were just beginning stages. And they went okay. I mean, they never made any of our albums, but they were our starters that had us going. And, you know, and then me and Lee sat in the basement with the acoustic guitar, and yeah, you know, he played the riffs, and I had a laptop, and that within 3 days we had 9 songs. It was pretty good.
So if you're wondering why Marty sounds so rough, it's because it's 9 a.m. in the morning. Who the hell does an interview this early? So let's go back, and when you guys were writing music, so it was the two of you really that were writing most of this?
Well, it was just bass ideas that we were coming up with, and then we just shared everything with the band, and you know, you expand from there. Things get changed, things morph into other things, new ideas come to light, you know. And basically, it was a group effort.
It was collaboration. For sure.
And for influences, though, because you're a pretty heavy rock band, but you have a lot of melodic parts to your songs. Did y'all have the same influences? How did you kind of come up with that?
That's the ironic part, is that everybody that had different things going on in their lives, and they were all listening to different music, and Jay Moskalak, our original guitar player, founding member, he listened to a lot of punk and a lot of this newer metal stuff that's going on now, and Sharky's more into the 90s grunge era, and I'm like an 80s metalhead like yourself.
So Kill for the Candy came out how long ago now?
That was 2012. Yeah, we're coming up on the 6-year anniversary. I think it's December 8th or something like that.
So what do you think now, listening back to that album? Because, you know, when you put an album out and you're always proud of the stuff that you put out, do you listen to it today going, you know what, that was a kick-ass album, we still love that? Do you listen to that and say, you know, this is kind of, I think we need to go in a different direction? What do you think of the album now as you listen to it?
Well, I listen to it a lot at work in my headphones, and most of the time I think, where the hell did we come up with that? You know, especially, like, seriously, it's not like the way it works with Jason in the background with these little pieces just thrown all over the place. Like, where was his brain that day? And, you know, the structure of how things were changing, and how good the rhythm was ripping through. And then my lyrics, I just was like, where the hell did I come up with that line? And I still get a bit emotional thinking, you know, it's just great. Like, where did we come up with that? And, you know, not to be, I've got no big head. None of us do in any way. And we don't, it's just, as a group, we were a spoked wheel, a 5-spoked wheel. And everybody had to be on, or we would run off balance. So it was pretty good that way.
So when you came up with this album, obviously you had a plan. So your plan was, I assume, to go out to tour a little bit, maybe to search for a record deal. And so now, many years later, what is your new vision? We're going to talk about your new band and kind of how that came about. But are you still going 100 miles an hour? Are you still out there to get on a tour, maybe to travel around the country? Are you looking for a record label? Where's your kind of heads at now, many years later?
Personally, I think, and I can't really speak for everybody, but myself, I'm doing it for the fun now. I mean, we're all getting up in age now, and we've got families and a lot of stuff going on life-wise. So now it's not work for us anymore. Whereas before, we were really hunting to, you know, we were trying to get somewhere, we were trying to do something, and we had a distinct mission. Where now we're just kind of, you know, we got it on full throttle, but it's you know, we're not on a train anymore. Now we're like on a boat, and if the wave catches us and takes us to the left, well, that's where we're going.
And it all depends too. You know, when it comes to shows, like, sometimes there's just great shows thrown at you, want to take them. If there's somewhere there's traveling involved, we'll take that. It's just at this point in time, we really enjoy what we're doing as brothers and hanging out. So we want to keep building new songs to keep, you know, keep our memories going, you know.
What I'm hearing is that, and I can feel it in a lot of bands, is that you're younger, you put out a killer album, and there's a lot of stress every day getting out there, getting your name out there, getting more gigs and all that. And it's almost like you work so hard and you go, why the hell am I not getting anywhere? But sometimes what you're doing now, where you kind of take it easy, like you said, you're on a boat now, It's funny that all of a sudden you're going to find things are getting thrown at you and you're like, oh, see what happens? We're still putting in the effort. But when you rely on something every minute of every day, it's got to be frustrating, especially for your musician, right? Like, you guys can talk about that. This is a tough fucking business.
It is. And back in the day, like when we first started before that, promoters were promoters. They would, you know, get you a show. They would promote you and put you out there, and they would get the following in to get their cut. Now it's just, you know,
how many people can you bring? Yeah. How many tickets can you sell for us? And,
it's pretty crazy.
So I want to talk about the hiatus you guys had there. Jason Blaze passed away, and that's a choice you didn't have. You did have the choice to replace a drummer. So you have two new members now in your band. Maybe speak about that and the rejuvenation of Crutch.
Well, when it comes to the drumming, we like I said in our first interview with you, we never wanted to lose anybody in the band. We were pretty tight and everyone was happy. It was going great, you know. And after a while of, you know, being together, sometimes, you know, things get misconstrued and they come across wrong, and people's hearts get hurt a lot more than they should for no reason. And, you know, with Jamie, it's just at the time he wanted to take a step back, and we didn't want to take a step back. So we didn't have a choice to keep going with his, you know, he was all for it and he was encouraging us to find someone and keep going. It's just at the time it was a little rough. And then Lox was one of, Aaron Hawkins was one of Jason Blaze's favorite drummers.
You're listening to the Shane Christopher Neal podcast, so pay attention.
And I always wanted him to be a part of the scene. And when we did add him in, Jason was still with us and we were practicing like crazy. And Jason was playing so good, but he was so sick. And it's just the way it went. But, Aaron has tons of energy. He just wants to go forward. You know, same with Spence. He's taking over now for Jason, which he is. He's a machine.
Yeah, we're really grateful for these guys.
So as you know, obviously, I've played with Sean for a number of years. What does he bring Crutch? Like, me knowing him as one of my best friends, I know what his influences are. I know what his talent is like. And I said to him right from the beginning of a conversation about Crutch that this was a perfect fit because it had all the elements. You were good guys. You like to rock out and have a good time. You're about energy. You're about live performance. You're about heavy rock and roll. So kind of how has he made an impact into your band?
Well, he actually is a lot like Jay. So he's actually just continuing on. Yeah, there's a bit of a different influence flow. He is a blur, just Marshall. You know, if there's a chance to do a picture, he does too many more than he should. But that's the great thing about Sean. And he's like a sponge too. Whatever we tell him, the way we're feeling, he takes it in, and he really thinks about it well before he presents his next idea and stuff. And he's doing a lot of work, and the excitement coming out of the guy is like a child at Christmas. It's awesome.
And the chemistry with Sean is absolutely amazing too. Mm-hmm. It was like there was really no transition. Normally you have a new guy come in and, you know, it takes a little while for him to catch up a little bit. He's playing the catch-up game. And Sean stepped in, and it was just like, you know, he had been studying the stuff for years when, in fact, he'd only been listening to it for a couple of weeks.
Sean studies nothing, just so you know.
Well, when it came to us, oh, yeah, he was doing his homework. You know, Jason was a really technical guy. He was really smart and went to California for schooling, and he was just incredible in his brain. And that's one thing Sean wanted to play exactly everything Jay played, which was challenging for him. Even though Sean's incredible, he wanted to learn everything Jay did for more tribute than take over. And he took the stems of just Jay's guitar tracks, and he studied like you wouldn't believe for weeks to be able to, you know, even do three quarters to, you know, 80% of what Jason did in it. And he nailed it.
So you guys are in the midst of rehearsing to play, I know, but you're also writing some new material, right? And what has that been like?
been really interesting, actually. We've revisited a couple of tracks that we had done previously and never released, and we basically restructured them, rewritten them, and rearranged some things with the new guy's input, you know, us taking a step back and saying, this is what we've got, and we want you to, you know, put your input on it. And it's been fantastic. The feel is still high energy. It's still the same. We're still coming out with the, what we call sexy heavy. And we're super pleased with it. And we can't wait to get out there and show you guys what we got going on, because these new tracks are they're heavier than what we used to do, but it's still the same feel. It's still the same energy.
Radio friendly.
You know, it's kind of still the same message that we're putting out, that, you know, we're here, we're not going away, but you know.
Yeah, we're not running hard though either, and trying to over promote ourselves and move as fast as bands that are trying to get around the world are doing either. We're just trying to have fun as brothers, write some material, find some crazy topic to make a story, and that's pretty much it.
Man, hang out.
Yeah. And you know what? A lot of it is timing too, right? Like, you know, sometimes you're playing the right place in front of the right people. You put the right song out or whatever it is, and someone says, hey, you know what? Maybe we need to look at this band a little bit more. So you never know what's going to happen. So if I were to, we're in what now? We're almost in June. So what would the rest of the year look like for Crutch? Like, do you think you'll put out an EP, or do you think you're just going to, you know, play some shows locally? What would your game plan be for the next, I guess, rest of the year? If you have one.
Well, we do have some kind of idea, like, to an extent. Like, we're gonna play shows that are thrown at us, like, not too selective, like, but we're going to continue working on these songs. We're going to record these songs, and we're going to take the gigs that are thrown at us that make sense, and then we're going to do our best to try to get an EP together with writing a full album as well. We don't want to just stop at an EP. Like, we don't have an EP, and we would prefer to put out like full-on albums, but we don't really know. Like, at this point, there's like 3 to 4 songs ready for the pretty much to put out another CD. So if we really cram and spend some more time together, we might even be able to just put together another disc.
And finally, just a real quick answer on this, but the Niagara music scene is kind of different, and in some ways, I guess, in a good way, and in some ways, maybe not so much. You guys have been part of it for a long time. What input do you have to that? Like, what can we do better here in Southern Ontario to promote live events, promote our bands? Anything that comes to mind?
Wow, that's a really sticky one, man. That's a big can of worms.
Well, I just wanted to know if you had any input.
Even though we don't live in the U.S., I'm going to plead the Fifth Amendment on that one.
All right, I understand. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I just thought maybe, you know, I know you guys have been through a lot around here and that too, so I just thought I would ask. But no worries. We'll get past that. So your next gig is when? It's coming up. You got a couple of gigs. One in Toronto, right? And one in Niagara,
yeah.
I think?
Yes. Next Friday, May 25th and 26th. Friday, we're playing Duffy's Tavern in Toronto, and the following night, we're playing the Geekery in Niagara Falls.
Because you guys are the geeks, right? Lee Marshall, by the way, it's Marshall Crutch on Facebook. I love that, because the other day, I'm like, do I have Marshall's phone number? What the hell's his first name? Literally, I had to think about that, but I figured it out. And Marty Sharkey, you're just under what? Are you under Marty Sharkey or just Sharkey? I can't remember.
That's it, man.
He's got a cool name all to begin with.
I know.
He doesn't have to make up any shit.
Jesus.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
All right, you can check the band out on Facebook as well. Make sure you check them out when they're around, because they kick ass. They're Crutch. Thanks, boys.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, man, thanks.